Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We're packed and jacked. Welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 5th and 6th, and a happy new year to all. We know in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens or reopens, indeed calls for a new year celebration. Well, this past Tuesday, porgies once again became legal. Yeah, the scup limit is 30 fish, a drop of 20. Go figure that. It's still the 10-inch minimum. And tog, blackfish now are legal again. One fish limit of 15 inches. But hey, with a triggerfish bite on, you get the one sea bass. Still some plenty of flounder out there. You get some nice eating going on. Now, listen, I said last week, I beseech you, the August issue of the Fisherman magazine on the local page, page 3. Read Hutch's editorial, C2 Table. If you're a striper fisherman, casual, hardcore, serious, he lays it out. There is, I'll tell you, man, there's some bad blood brewing. And it's from these proponents that want catch and release only. As Hutch points out, there's a quote of the guy saying, "We won the battle, but not the war." This is what it's coming down to, man. And the antis, believe me, the antis are loving it. Divide and conquer. Hey, man, have a shout out to Cole. Met Cole from Fork and River, man. Met him at a tackle shop. He was getting ready for, was it Billy Bob's fluke tournament? Billy Bob, Big Billy Bob, former lineman for Rutgers Scarlet Knights. That'd be a good time. But Cole, nice meeting you, and thanks for listening. Hey, man, jam show. Bucks in Velvet. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
35 days and counting. Early bow season in, what do we have, 28 deer management zones, a.k.a. DMZs, statewide. Now, remember, in, how many of these? DMZs, 9, 13, 27, 28, 29, 31, 35, and 47 are antler point restrictions, at least 3 points on one side of the rack. I think that's about as selfish and as stupid as and just inane as you can get. But hey, man, these guys, the deer quality deer guys? Hey, they showed up and give them power to them. They showed up at the meetings. They pounded away, and they locked up how many hundreds of thousands of acres? Where unless you shoot a deer to that standard, you can't shoot one. Hey, well, that's how it is. Speaking about antlers, the quest, the holy grail. The Buck in Velvet. Lovely Dee Marie, man. She's on a quest to do it. I called and I said, I had to put in a call to this guy. Just one of, I guess you would call it, northern South Jersey's most efficient, incredible big buck hunters. His name is Bill Brown. He was a guest on last year. Hunts 100%. Let me give him a little edge here. 98 to 99% all public land. And he does get some bucks. And I said, Bill, it's the Velvet thing, man. We have the early seasons. Now I've been seeing deer all over the place. Coming down to Parker, it was a Thursday morning. There's two or three bucks on the side, or they're still hanging in their little bands. But now those antlers that I saw there, little basket, like fours and sixes, they are going to be getting some height to them as August progresses. But getting that Buck in Velvet, what is involved? That's already, I have 35 days. Hopefully, you have the cameras out, the mineral things going. I don't know, man. I called in Bill Big Buck Brown. Let's get some deer information from dear friend Bill. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
The Bucks in Velvet, man. I'm seeing them all over the place now. But again, about probably 60, 70% on public land. And like I said, you hunt public land almost exclusively, and there are plenty of bucks out there, are there not?
There are. You just got to work. I'd like to say you got to start early, set up early, but you should be doing that every year anyway. So for me, my cameras are rolling. I have a couple cameras that roll year-round, and then I have a couple cameras where I expect to see better bucks. Mm-hmm. So I'll put them up a little later. I try not to go in there very much, and I'll get them rolling around, like, because that changes from year to year.
Right.
Probably middle of July. I've had the cameras out searching from the middle of July to where I expect to see some whoppers and Velvet.
Mm-hmm. Again, that seems like such an oxymoron when you're talking public land whoppers. But there, Bill, there are some big bucks, as your record proves it, on public land. And you're in heavily hunted Ocean County primarily, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And those, almost, and Bill, those deer, again, on public land, those deer get pressured. But from what I understand, and your son Noah said, that you are in the thickest of the thickest stuff, because that's where they are. Now, are they in that cover right now? I mean, is there a caution, like, there's no hunting pressure, not many humans around. What's the deer behavior like this time?
This time of year, for me, it's the luscious, greenest spot. Like, it hasn't really been that dry a summer. It was dry in the early part, but now it's kind of, you know, gotten wet. I look for the greenest stuff there is. So it might not be the thickest, you know. A lot of times it might be the field edges. You know, I go out to Greenwood and everything. If those fields are bright green, you're going to see bucks in them at night. And, you know, we talked in the past about what they're doing now is what they're doing in winter. So what I see in winter bow kind of leads me to where I want to find a contender for this year. Mm-hmm. And I look for the greenery. I look for the richest, you know, you got to know where the blueberries are starting to go. You know, you have a lot of fruit trees dropping that are just starting. I know, right. Like a pear tree in my yard just started dropping. I got deer in my front yard.
Time out. You have pears?
Yes.
Did they ever tell you
deer hunter should have a pear tree? Come on.
Listen to me. I make the most lip-smacking pear pie, but you have to have it with vanilla ice cream. Are these the pears that humans can eat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. So I guess I'm bringing you a bucket of pears.
No, I'll tell you, I'll come over and pick them up myself. I can't take any gratuities like that. But, Bill, seriously, okay. So the food sources now, they're going to be changing. They're the tiniest things, but we're already seeing acorns dropping. How does that augur for early acorn drop, you think? Or is this like a natural course this time of year?
I think it was that hot. No, I don't think it's natural. I think it was that super hot early part of the summer, which caused some trees to wilt a little and probably think they needed to cast. But honestly, I would stick to the greenery before I focused in on any major acorn drops. I don't think that's that started quite yet. And I would look for, you know, like the early fruit trees. What is it? The black cherries are starting to drop. Yep. Those rowan berries are going. There's all kinds of things. I know there's a mulberry tree down the road from me. I seen that, you know, drop its fruit and everything. The food right now, like, do you want to get a picture of a good buck and belt? You got to get to the food. And if you expect to catch up with them by September, you got to figure out where he's going.
Okay, Joe's on the Rack and Fin line this morning. Is deer hunting? Bill, I know you're a pretty, you know, self-facing guy, but I'll say deer hunting expert, public land deer hunting expert, public land big buck hunting expert. Bill Brown hunts 99%, if not more, of public land. Ace with the bow. We have the early bow season going to be opening up in 35 days and 28 DMZs. And the thing is, a quest for the buck in velvet. Now, Bill, the bucks you're seeing now, their antlers still have, what, another few weeks of growth left?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they'll grow to the end of August. You know, that first, you won't see any real action on the horns till the middle of September, you know, like where they start to chafe or anything like mm-hmm. that. I think they'll grow right through August for sure. You know, it slows down a lot, but they'll be growing.
Bill, genetics and food sources, they're inextricably linked, correct, insofar as antler growth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like there are certain areas, even within the hunting the pines, that's a real challenge. You know, there's, let's face it, we don't have the nutrients, so they've got to work extra hard to get all the minerals and just the nutrients they need to grow the right horns, and they've got to have the genes. And I think we have areas with good genes. I mean, I'm surprised every year at some of the buck that I see. And if given enough time, I think most deer will grow a fine rack, but then there are some that just grow spectacular racks. So it's about making a decision to focus your energies on those deer. Mr. You know, like last year I honed in on one buck, you know, yeah. And I got a whopper, and that was a lot of work. And it was a lot of letting deer go and knowing that I shoot that one, I might not see the next one.
Let me interrupt you a second. Listen, I'm flabbergasted at the bucks, the public land bucks that Mr. Bill Brown passes up. Suppose you get, no, that's not my, what? My eyeballs are having heart attacks. So you, Bill, so you almost, for lack of a better term, You're almost like the old Charles Bronson movie, The Mechanic.
Yeah.
You tune in. You have the job. You tune in. You focus on one animal. Do you have a contingency plan, or you're just after, I'm going after this specific buck, and that's it, come hell or high water?
Oh, Tom, you know I have contingency plan. I have contingency plan after I'll find four or five different deer. And then if I have a good year, maybe I'll take a friend into one and say, hey, you know, you want to hunt this area? I know there's a good one in there. Or one of my sons. But for the most part, we keep our eyes open. I'll put out, you know, 20 cameras, 30 cameras in many different areas just in hopes of glimpsing a deer. There might be there was a deer a few years ago that my son, Zach, he got one time on camera. And then he saw it one time during shotgun season.
That was it?
In there. And a friend of ours got it the following year. A friend of mine, Rudy Schoenberg, and it was a monster. If I showed you the mass on it, you'd have thought it was from Kansas, you know? But these deer, like those glimpses, that's enough for me to sit in the stand and wait and let go. And it's not just me. There's a lot of people in my group of friends, a lot of local guys who are committed to.
That's it, yeah.
You know, they want a big deer. They want to get a big deer, and after seeing the success of myself and a couple other guys from my hunting club and stuff where they get big deer consistently, it starts to inspire them. You know, they start to get that feeling that, hey, this can be done. We can find big deer here. Just means maybe I don't shoot the first four-pointer that comes down. Hey, and for a guy who does, God bless you. I'm not beating that down at all. Heck, my walls are covered in them. I've got ropes of spikes hanging. But I've just moved on. You know, it's just a different time for me. And now these bucks in velvet now, you know, it's so much fun to take the pictures and I get as much enjoyment out of finding a big buck as I do out of hunting and harvesting a big buck.
But people, you can't say, thank God there's no cameras in here to see how huge I am. But when he said a friend in there, you can't say I'm waving my hand like, pick me.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Well, Bill, the thing is, my lovely Dee Marie, she is into the rack phase now, which is understandable. She progressed. Me, and I'm very proletarian about this, especially September, October. There's so many things going on. Freshwater fishing, saltwater fishing, at small game, the squirrel season, bunny season, whatever. I see a deer come down, buck or doe, spike or whatever. I'm interested. Tommy Meat. That's what they call me. I'm a meat man. I love my venison. Yeah. And I'm leaving that trophy thing. Now, did these pass up some, not by your standards, but did these pass up some nice bucks saying, I already have this size, I already have that size, I'm looking for this. And I'll tell you, that I went through that for about, that phase for about a week.
Yeah.
Again, I'm into the meat, but it's a discipline. It is really a discipline.
And you know what else, Tom? It's for me, it's about the meat. You know what? We live on deer meat here in the brown house, the deer meat, the fish we catch, my garden. It's all, I just about self-sufficiency, but,
Let me interrupt Bill Brown for a second with that German short hair, Sadie. Pheasants and quail do not have a chance, and I've seen that.
she
is a maniac. She is unreal.
She's training right now, as a matter of fact, chasing a squirrel in the backyard. But that's her part-time business.
I think if knowing Zach had four legs, that'd be her. I mean, way your boys hunt as well.
Probably.
Okay, Bill, listen, we're up against a hard break. We're going to hang in for another segment. I want to get into, Bill, the buck behavior now, as you're saying. And also before that, I want to touch on the importance of the minerals, especially in areas that lack them. We'll answer this in the next segment. Do you think it's too late to start getting minerals on the ground? Like ACP, Rednecks Pride, shout out to Ronnie Jones there. Great stuff. Is it too late to do that? People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back with Bill Big Buck Brown, the Holy Grail. But I'll tell you, the Holy Grail with that antlers in velvet. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Fox on film.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. New in theaters this week is the star-packed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, with a voice cast that includes Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Jackie Chan, Ice Cube, and Hannibal Buress.
Michelangelo, you have heart. Donatello, you have wisdom. Raphael, you have bravery. And Leonardo, honor.
The Warner Brothers Shark sequel Meg 2, The Trench, is also out, up against previously released Barbie and Oppenheimer. And speaking of Barbie...
Hey, Barbie!
Hi, Barbie!
Hi, Barbie!
Hi, Barbie!
Hi, Barbie!
The monster hit of a movie is expected to be on top at the box office for a third weekend and is on track to hit $1 billion in the next few days. New this week in the streaming world, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is now streaming on Disney+. The Super Mario Brothers movie streams on Peacock. Horror film The Passenger is on video on demand. And that's Fox on Film for Fox News.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year. Which means... Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah. That's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match. Only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with 6 strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see ya later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 5th and 6th, 35 days to go till the September 9th opening of the early bow season in 28 deer management zones statewide. A bunch of here open in South Jersey. We're talking with Bill Big Buck Brown. Northern Ocean County or Southern Ocean County deer hunter, northern part of what we call is considered South Jersey. And I'll tell you, public land, this man is an ace, just passes up bucks that would blow your mind that you can't believe are on public land. But the quest is now for a buck in velvet. Bill, let's get to, before the deer behavior, mineral licks vital. Is it too late to start something like that going?
No, never too late. Never too late. Put it down. Put it down. It's never too early. You should put minerals down year round, in my opinion, especially in the pines.
That, and I'm wondering, Bill, is it, you know, so this will benefit them through the fall and winter, I guess, but would it possibly add in any kind of, for lack of a better term, growth spurt in the antlers that are still growing, still forming under the velvet?
I'm going to say it can't hurt. I mean, I don't know what difference it'll make this late in the season, but if not, the antlers in the velvet, it'll help with body size. It's going to help when they lose their summer coat and grow their winter coat. All that takes, you know, it their metabolism is burning through stuff quickly, and they need those nutrients to do all these things. They need the nutrients to get to body size quicker. If you have a buck that's not fully mature or a doe that's not fully mature, they need those nutrients. You know, you want that fawns to be good next year, fill them up this year.
Yeah, looks like
get them what they need.
Looks like I have a check going out Monday to Ronnie Jones at ACP. Absolutely. Okay, Bill, let's get to buck in velvet behavior, especially the bigger ones. Are they loners now? Have you seen this time of year leading up to September, bucks in velvet, big bucks hanging together, or is that more like a teenage thing? Your 4s, 6s, and spikes. What's the dealio?
No, they definitely hang together, Tom. I already have 5 and 6, 7 bucks. And the thing is, they may be together, but you might not get them on camera. You know, those young bucks, they run right into the mineral lick. They go crazy in there. Like I already put some of my pears out under a spot, and they, you know, I got the spikes and like the little ones that'll be 4s and 6s, and like the young 8s are, they're going right in. Mm-hmm. But then like 3-4 hours later, I'll get that picture of some big bruisers coming by, but they're in that group. They hang together. You know, they just don't, there might not be next to them. They might not come in right away.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little trick now where I put 3 cameras up facing away instead of facing the bait.
Wow.
And I get a lot more deer on picture. Like you'd be surprised at the 10 pointer that stands there watching the spike eat the pears. And he just comes in and takes 6 licks off the lick, like at midnight, but he's there.
Wow. He's there. Right.
Bill, try a camera facing away from your bait. You'll be surprised.
Bill, the behavior of these bucks, primarily these, even this time of year, they're primarily nocturnal?
It depends on your areas. Where I'm close to houses, I'll see more nocturnal activity. Getting out there in, you know, Greenwood and stuff, I'll get them during the middle of the day. I've had deer, heck, you know, the pheasant fields out in Howardsville there?
Yeah, exactly there, right. Right off 72.
In the room, there'll be 60 deer out there.
What?
I'm just telling you, if you go there at 5 o'clock tonight, I guarantee there'll be 50, 60 deer out in that field.
I mean, does Fish and Wildlife, do they plant legumes there or something? Or what are they eating out there? Just the green or just the grass?
I guess it's just that winter wheat they plant. I mean, I don't know if they've planted this year. I have not been out to that particular spot, but I just know those deer. I've been doing that for 30 years. You know, the rye fields are a great visual place. And for me, I'll do a lot of legal spotlighting, you know, without a weapon, just going down the roads and kind of checking things out. But also, any cooler evening, this weather we've had recently, this is perfect.
Yeah,
take a ride.
Absolutely.
Take a ride down the dirt roads. You'll see deer all over the place. And sometimes I see one, might not even be a place I want to hunt. But if it's a big buck there, I suddenly want to hunt it.
There you go. Well, again, Bill, back to the behavior thing. Again, they're there, but they're not associating with the smaller bucks. When do you when do you notice that? Okay, is it early, mid-September, and all of a sudden, hey man, we're starting to feel a little tingling down there, and it's we're separating from everyone else when they go a more individual take.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think when the itch happens in the horns, that's when they start to separate. That you'll see a little distance. You know, you might see the younger buck 2 hours prior to the older buck, but it's definitely the middle of September when those horns start to itch and bother them. That's like a signal for them. You know, I mean, they say a buck will breed at any time. You know what I mean? If he smells the pheromone and stuff, he'll go for it. So I think those horns being harder and starting to stiffen up, that really, really gets them going. So I would say about the middle of September, you'll definitely see a difference.
So Bill Brown, basically there's to get a buck in velvet, you have what, a two, maybe three. Okay. I've seen bucks in velvet later on, but for all intents and purposes, a 2 or 3 week window, correct?
Yeah, and that's being generous. I think that's being generous. Oof. I think you gotta get them that first week, and I've seen more deer with hard horns the third week in September than I've seen, you know, those velvet horns. It comes quick, and they'll shed that velvet in 1-2 days. Boom, gone.
Joining us on the Rackfin line this morning is Bill Big Buck Brown, public land trophy deer hunter with the bow especially, and just has some absolutely whoppers to his credit. The quest for the buck in velvet. So, Bill, you're talking, okay, let's give it split the difference, say a 10-day window. Where are you going? What are you doing? What is your tactic? How do you, again, you have these cameras out. How do you pick a spot? How do you zero in on one particular buck?
Well, for me, it's definitely... What I like in horns might not be what somebody else likes in horns, but I also look for a very huntable deer. If deer's coming through at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's where I'm going to go. Even if it's the most unlikely spot, I've found myself 25 yards off a roadway hunting.
What?
Like, you'd be like, what the heck are you doing there? Well, that's where he is. So I got to be where he is. Definitely are in like a feeding pattern. So you're not going to count on any early scrapes or rubs or anything like that you see. So you got to pick a food source, and you just got to locate the run he's traveling and go where the deer are. I know so many guys, we talked about this before too, where guys hunt trees. Wow, that's a great tree. I'm going to put a stand up. Okay, well, what about the deer? Aren't we hunting deer? So you got to find the deer, and that is camera work, that's leg work, that's spotlighting, that's getting out, walking the woods and maybe bumping them. And just don't underappreciate seeing a buck, especially if you see him multiple times. Say a buck crosses a road in front of you and you're driving somewhere and he crosses that road in that spot 2 or 3 times. That's where you want to hunt him. You know, especially if it's during the day. If it's in daylight, that's where I'm going to go. And for me, like lately, it's, you know, these tall basket rack bucks are like what I like chasing lately. It's just, I don't know, it's just what I like them. So if I see one of those, that's going to draw my attention, and that's where I'm going to be.
Bill, their behavior insofar as, like right now, they're not, do you find them just as cautious now as, say, by the first, second, third week in October when they are being pressured, or are they just constantly, born nervous? They're just always on the alert.
Not that a deer isn't alert, but I don't think they're nearly pressured as much. I feel that early season is definitely a more relaxed time in the woods. They're bumped into less. I mean, there's a lot of quads and stuff in the woods, but they get used to that now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're less pressured. I think you have a really good shot early season to get that buck coming in. If you're on a good food source, you're going to get them.
It's all about the food. Bill Brown, let's see. I have a list of about 30 questions I had to ask you because of the time thing here. Hunting in the heat, Bill, have you had deer out? I mean, it's like, because we always have days in September, 85 degrees, even 90. I get to hunt when I get to hunt. So in times of heat, you have 4 hours in the afternoon. I mean, it's worth going, is it not, if you've done your homework? Will deer show
Absolutely.
Up in extreme conditions like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go sit and sweat. Go sit and sweat. It's worth it.
Bill, hunting a water source. Good time in the early season?
You get some hot days, especially like a real steamy, humid, hot day. Absolutely. Just by coincidence, most of my stands, say 90% of my tree stands are within 100 yards of a water source. So that's just something I found to truly be a... something to key on in here in the pines, because they suffer. The deer suffer when there's like a drought, you know what I mean? Like early summer, those deer are at the water sources for sure. And so they're going to develop a pattern going around those water sources. So you got to key in on them.
So you have a, listen, like as Bill says, basically a 10-day window in here to get that buck in velvet. And Bill, have you noticed rubs earlier or later predicated on the areas you're hunting, say Greenwood, as opposed to hunting down by Forsyth or as opposed to hunting up by Manahawkin?
Funny thing is, I mean, I've hunted up in Monmouth County some last couple of years, and they will have rubs much later than we do. I find in the pines, the rubs start early. You will see rubs that second week of September, you know, the little ones or maybe on little bushes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But... It's funny, I just feel like overall, you're probably best to ignore them and stick to the food sources for that deer in velvet. You want that deer in velvet, stick to the food sources. That's their behavior then. They are stocking up. They're concentrating on filling their bellies.
And there he goes, because they're going to be burning it up quickly, as Bill says. But one last question, in the heat, any particular care being taken? You arrow a nice buck, you get him. Get them into that skin and get into that cooler as soon as possible, correct?
Yeah, I skin them as quickly as I can. I usually like to let my deer hang a few days, but if it's that hot weather, I'm doing it that night. I bring them home. I'm going to quarter them, get them in a cooler with ice, and you know, get the skin off so they can cool down as quickly as possible. If you're lucky enough to have a friend with a walk-in or something like that, well, that's all the advantage in the world there, and you can definitely take advantage of that. But, you know, it's, a lot of people don't have that, so it's a little more hard. But you can't let it sit for long.
But one final question: you're almost 50 years, five decades. If you look at this guy, no way does he look that age of hunting. Have you ever, you know, seen deer that you become familiarized with in your favorite hunting areas that the racks attain a certain size, and then as the deer gets older, you see the racks get smaller, or is that a myth?
No, that's not a myth. I've absolutely seen that. I hunted one deer, and it's funny because that deer became familiar to me and several of my friends, and we all hunt within, you know, a few miles of each other, and it was just kind of crazy how we all knew him.
Uh-huh.
You know, we called him Shrek. He was a big seven-pointer, and he got to be a massive seven-pointer in about his fifth and sixth year, and then it was crazy to watch him decline. And he just was a completely nocturnal deer his entire life, and not me or anybody that I knew had ever got a shot at him.
Wow.
So we'd all have him on our cameras. And this is an area that's covering 5 to 7 square miles. And all you had to do was show a picture of him. Someone's like, oh, my God, there's that deer. We know that deer.
Bill, are you surprised at all in your experience that? Because you always hear guys and gals sometimes, you know, bitching and moaning, no deer on public land, they're all shot out, except not that they're going to be shot out, you know what I mean, but there's always a quest for access to private land. Are you surprised at the quality of deer and the numbers of deer, especially big bucks, not that they're that numerous, but you know what I mean, in the context, on public land despite the hunting pressure?
I would say, yeah. Sometimes I'm surprised at what I'm able to find. Like this year, I'm not going to be surprised because I know at the end of winter bow, I ended up not taking a deer last year in winter bow because I knew the ones that I was seeing were going to grow to be, you know, much nicer this year. So I'm very hopeful for this coming season. But I think overall, if you're willing to take the walk and, mm-hmm. and get off the main beaten path and do some work, you're going to find a big deer. You're going to find a big deer. And patience. You need patience.
And unless there's spray down heavy duty with like the Sawyer or other permethrin base, because the chiggers and ticks, as Bill said, they are brutal. What is it about late August into September? These things go beyond voracious.
I wish I knew, because I got pictures of me and my friends running around the woods in shorts when I was a kid. So
I see.
Can't figure it out.
I used
to lay around in the woods.
I've seen grown men cry with the chigger bites. That guy says, I'd rather be in the marsh with the greenheads than face with the chiggers. Well, Bill, thanks for your expertise here and sharing with the listeners of Rakuten Radio. Listeners, 35 days till the opening of the early bow season and 28 deer management zones. Go to njfishandwildlife.com, hit the hunting link, and go to the deer hunting link, and all the information you need is there. Don't forget, there are those 13 DMZs with the antler point restrictions, and there are plenty of big deer on public land, even those areas that don't have antler point restrictions. Bill, I'll tell you, one of the biggest bucks I ever saw in, I guess you would say, central South Jersey. What management area is that? It was out by 537 Prospect, Ocean County or somewhere out that way. And he didn't run across the road, but he basically walked and stopped on the shoulder. I stopped. Where's the camera? I had a phone, but I don't know how to use that. Camera's in the back end. And he gave me a good 5 to 6 seconds there, and off he went. Then one time coming down 539, right before that light, there where 72 goes by.
Oh,
what
the
bleep is that? Oh, man. I stopped, you know, they wandered off. He was with a doe. It was just getting dark. My lovely D. Marie nailed a buck, and we took it to, shout out to Billy Lohr there, since retired, our deer butcher there, our deer cutter in Warren Grove. You know, Bill.
Yep.
I said, I described this deer. He says, oh, yeah, same thing as you said, Brown. Oh, he's been around. Guys see him. No one seems to be able to get a shot at him. But I described the deer, and he had it right to a T. That is public land. And it's just amazing how these big deer survive there and thrive.
They know. They know the game. They've been playing it, you know, long enough to be that smart.
Bill, in your opinion, again, before I'm a sandbagger, people, we know that. Your opinion, if you have one, on impact of when the car hits, we know that. We've seen a buck on the side of the road there on a Black Horse Pike one time in velvet. I still have the photo on my phone. What a monster. Dead, blood all over the place. That was it. But, Bill, what about coyote predation on fawns? Have you noticed a drop in deer counts in some of the public areas you hunt?
I know that everybody wants to blame the coyotes, and I have seen a coyote take down deer. I've seen them take down a full-grown deer, let alone a fawn.
Whoa!
So I know the predation is a real thing. But all in all, I would say it's a combination of things. It's a combination of introducing the crossbow. It's a combination of, you know, they say we're down in hunting numbers, but I see more people in the woods, maybe more people having success in the woods, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a combination of things, you know, plus whatever was going on with Blue Tongue?
Blue Tongue, EHD,
All these things come together, and it's also loss of habitat. You know, if you're putting all these housing developments east of the parkway, That area used to filter deer west of the parkway. And if there's no place for them to grow, there's no place for them to go. So it's just tough. It's just tough. I think it's a little bit of everything, not so much the coyotes.
There you go, Bill Brown.
They're not doing it.
Thank you much. Enjoy having you on Rockman. Hope to see you around that Ocean County area sometime. I know you're like a wisp in the wind, man. When deer season's there, as Noah says, my dad vaporizes. He's got... He's out of the woods, so we only see him at night, if we're lucky.
That's not what my wife calls it, but...
Okay, Bill, you take care. Best to everyone, and we'll hope to see you soon.
All right, Tom, you got it.
Take care. Bill Brown, the guy is an amazing public lands hunter. There's some great public land hunters out there. This one I happen to know personally and also on a professional level somewhat. Amazing. And the deer he passes up. Whoa. Whoa. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. 10-day window. Maybe. Maybe a little less, maybe a little more. Buck in velvet. Now that's to me. That's what goes on the wall. Be right back. Rack and Fin, and the meat in the freezer, naturally. Rack and Fin Radio.
The WPG Talk Radio app is everything South Jersey. Local news and information updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Breaking news push notifications just for South Jersey. Easily call and listen to all your favorite WPG Talk shows and more. Download the WPG Talk Radio app for your phone, tablet, Apple CarPlay, and Android Auto today at WPGTalkRadio.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. The U.S. adding 187,000 jobs to the economy last month.
The unemployment rate is near its lowest level in over half a century. Wages are up. Inflation has fallen 12 months in a row, and recently, some of the nation's largest financial institutions have begun to recognize the significant impact of our economic approach.
Vice President Harris, a mega donor to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, says he's not giving any more money
until he sees DeSantis can generate more donations on his own, saying DeSantis needs to shift to get moderates, that, quote, extremism isn't going to get him elected.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. No winner in last night's Mega Millions. The next jackpot, more than $1.5 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, expect mostly cloudy skies. We'll reach an overnight low of 66. Saturday, you can expect humid conditions with intervals of clouds and sunshine. We'll reach a high Saturday of 87. For Saturday night, partly cloudy, the low 64. Sunday, partly sunny, the high 87. Monday, look out for a severe afternoon thunderstorm. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That was all about hunting bucks in velvet. But let's not forget the fishing, the freshwater fishing in particular. We had that super hot spell. Didn't do too bad there, bass fishing, without it cooling off. And the bite is on. Largemouths and pickerel, especially. A little bit of a crappy bite starting one of our areas that we go to in northern Cape May County. But I figure we'll get another maybe 2 to 3, maybe 4 degree water temperature drop next week. That should pop wide open. Hey, there's going to be a bass tournament on Union Lake. Sponsored by the Cumberland County Bassmasters, an open buddy tournament. It's going to be next Saturday, August 12th, from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go to South Jersey Bass Club Association.com to find out the open buddy tournaments. Another great tournament that day on Alloways Lake down there in Salem County, a kayak deal. This is always a challenge. It's put on by the South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club. Longtime president Lane L is on the Rack and Fin Line right now to talk about the tournament, the challenge of bass fishing in a tournament scenario from a kayak. Now, it's going to be on Alloway Lake. That's about 150, down by Quinton somewhere, 049, whatever. About 150 acres, maybe a little larger, varied habitat, and some big ass largemouth bass. President Lane, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, anytime, Tom P.
This is this your last tournament of the year for the kayak club?
It's the last open of the season.
Okay, now
so it's the last chance for anybody out there, 18 or over, that has a kayak and wants to get involved in tournament kayak fishing to come out and see what it's all about and take a chance and hopefully win some money.
Len always said it's a unique challenge from a kayak. Now, South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club, no motorized kayaks, correct? No electric motors. And what about pedals? That allowed?
Oh, yeah. Pedal drives have been in the club since the very beginning. No, it's all human power. Paddle or pedal only. No electric motors.
Lane, now you've been doing this for what? This is your 14th season?
We're in the middle of our 14th season. Yeah, Tom. We started back in 2010, and we are the original kayak club in New Jersey.
Right.
We've spawned since then, clubs all over the state. So, it's been a great history for the club, and we're going strong and just continue to pick up momentum as this kayak deal just gets bigger and bigger, not only on a local stage, but on a national stage
as well. I think Bassmaster Magazine, don't they have a big kayak classic every year now, the past three or four years?
Yeah, BASS has its own kayak series. Which is on their website right there with the Elite Series and the Opens and everything. So, yeah, kayak, even a lot of the big-name kayak anglers from the Elite Series are now getting involved in kayaks. You know, Mike Iaconelli.
I was just going to say Ike,
Iaconelli has won a tournament in kayak fishing. Greg DePalma, who's an Elite Series angler, jumped down into the kayak division. He also won a tournament. And then there's national names all over the place now. So this kayak deal is really becoming mainstream and a way to access, not only big water, but small, skinny water that maybe bass boats can't even get into.
Right,
so
and South Jersey is rife with it, with the exception of maybe Union Lake as a big water, 898 acres, I believe. South Jersey is prime kayak bass fishing territory, is it not?
There's so many small lakes in South Jersey that, I do have a bass boat also.
I know, yeah.
I'm 90% of the time in my kayak just because of the small waters in South Jersey. And the kayak is just, a lot of these places don't have boat ramps. So you're just sliding in from the side of the road or, from a creek entrance or whatever. And there's opportunities to catch bass of a lifetime in these little ponds.
I call it hiding in plain sight bass puddles. Some of these smaller waters. Lane, would you agree, not a lot, just a significant amount are sort of ignored, like a county pond, that's it, or a, whatever, that's too small to hold big bass, and then they're full of big fish. I mean, people ignore them because they're, again, hiding in plain sight. I don't want to bother with that. Too many people on it or only kids fish there. I've seen that many a time.
Well, you know, people always say you go down to Florida and every puddle in Florida has a big fish in it. People don't realize that, just about every puddle in New Jersey also has fish in it. And, some of your best fishing can come from these really small lakes.
Yeah.
There's that lake in Absecon, and Birch Grove Park and things like that. There's some really good fishing in these really small bodies of water.
Well, let me ask you this. Before I want to get to the tournament, Alloways, it's a great, great venue. This is about, a couple months ago. Wasn't a guy. We happened to be out in the Poconos, kayak angler, unloaded. He had the trailer, the whole bit. Lane, I'll tell you, I appreciate technology and progress. Don't get me wrong, even though I'm a dinosaur. Listen, I just topped 150 years old, but I look pretty good for that. Lane, this thing looked like it came from NASA. What? This kayak was so tricked out. I said it sort of got away from the original thing, kayak on the top of the back of your pickup, the top of your car, and go, and simplicity where, except for maybe a four-stroke Verado on the back, this thing was an out-and-out bass boat.
Yeah, that's the beauty of our sport is you can compete with, just a regular kayak and your paddles with barely any electronics or no electronics at all, and you can compete against another guy in a kayak that's, 13 and a half foot long. It has live scope and, two other screens on it. And it's crazy. You know, some of these kayaks are, you know, absolutely mini bass boats at this point.
Lane, two alloways, a great venue over the years. Again, when you pick venues to have your competitions, what parameters do you work within?
Well, we always want to pick lakes that we think are going to compete very well, meaning that there's fish there to catch. The fish are probably going to be decent size, and it has a lot of structure, and it has the size enough to hold, you know, 20 to 30 kayaks. And Alloway definitely fits the bill on everything. Alloway is actually one of my favorite. It's probably a top three lake of mine in all of South Jersey. The venue is just awesome. It's got a ton of structure, a ton of laydowns. It has a couple bridges. It has creeks.
Yeah.
It really has everything that you want if you're a bass fisherman. It has docks. It has some deep water. So however you like to fish, you can fish your strength at Alloway Lake. That's what makes it such a really cool venue. Yeah.
Lane, I also spoke to another accomplished kayak angler. One of his favorites and her favorites, also, it's a husband-wife team. They like that Rainbow Lake.
Rainbow amazes me with the amount of pressure that Rainbow Lake gets.
That's what I was saying. That thing is pounded.
Day in and day out, and yet it still produces big bass and great bags. I mean, it's an amazing fishery. I don't know how it sustains all the pressure, but it does. It's another great venue for a kayak because you can fish that entire lake. You can go way up in the creek and get places that the bass boats just can't get to. That you'd be able to access in a kayak. So, yeah, Rainbow is one of those special fisheries. I don't understand how it continues to be so good, but I'm glad it does.
Well, Lane, that's like the kayak counterpart of Lake Assinpink. How many tournaments are on that lake every year? That place gets pounded, yet quality fish every tournament. Even if you're not fishing the tournaments, from the bank, we're catching big bass. That's a great place.
Yeah, we just had a tournament recently on Assinpink, and again, it showed out. We caught a ton of fish, lots of big fish, and Assinpink's another one. You're right. There's a tournament just about every Saturday and Sunday up there in the summertime, and it continues to just, pump out big fish and lots of fish. It's amazing how well, it just shows you catch and release does work because these fish, are caught multiple times in their lifetime, and they just continue to thrive and live and continue to spawn and do better. So, catch and release really does work.
Well, just a matter of course here. Listen, I'm flying up 206, flying down 206 earlier in the week. I'm all over the place. I wanted to stop one of my fave places, drop off a shirt to Miss Bonnie at the Piccolilli and stop's little place, Scoots. Whoa. Hey, that's Lane Ellis. Let's just pull in. Lane, what you did at that store, I mean, it's a Scoots liquor store with just an incredible, by the way, I caught three bass on one chatterbait I bought there, by the way. And what a great tackle selection there, fresh and salt. You put that together quickly, did you not? Like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a large section, but we put a lot into what we have. And we have all the basics that you need to get fishing, whether you're freshwater or saltwater fishing. We have all kind of jigs for fluke and, striper rigs and, perch rigs and everything for saltwater. But we also have a fully stocked freshwater.
Lane, you had that one chatterbait color I've been looking for, not on a serious hump. You don't have it. Boom, bang, boom, Lane. I got some bass with that. Lane, attack us right now. Water's getting cooler. We're going to have another hot spell. Water temps are going to fluctuate up and down. I caught them on a chatterbait. I caught some on the whopper plopper. I caught some on a buzzbait. They seem to, and also on my fave, I like the little 3-inch Yamamoto Senko. They seem to be eating everything right now. Is it the feed bags are on in this weather, correct?
Yeah, and I've always said this, a lot of people think that the fall feeds start like September, and I completely disagree with that. I believe the fall feeds start as soon as the days start getting shorter.
There you go. Yep.
And the bass are very keen into to the amount of hours of daylight. And when they see those days getting shorter, they know that, you know, it's just a matter of time before that water starts cooling off and, you know, the winter gets here. So they're going to start chasing shad and anything else that they want to eat. And they're going to start really eating and chowing down now. Sometimes by time, you know, middle September, end of September, early October, you know, when people think that's when the fall feed is, they've already missed it.
A lot of these
bass are already, you know, into their winter stages, you know, a lot earlier than people believe. And that's just my feeling.
You have the experience to back it up. Lane L., president, South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club, an open buddy tournament, August 12th there on Alloways Lake in Salem County. Lane, for people who want to find out more about this, how do they do it?
You know, all the information's on our website. It's sjkbfc.com. You can search all the rules. One thing, you know, the tournament starts at 6 a.m. sharp. You need to be checked in by 5:15 a.m. If you're not checked in and ready to go by 5:15, you will not be allowed to enter the tournament. So please be on time. You know, we want to be able to get everybody in the water and get a good 6 o'clock start. But yeah, it's a great time. It's a $25 entry fee, so it's not a killer entry fee. And if you happen to win the tournament and maybe get Lunker on top of that, you could come home with a few $100.
There you go. Lanell, thanks much. Hey, good luck out there with Scoots, man. Great little place. You take care.
Yeah, thanks for stopping in. I'm sorry I missed you. I was out grabbing some bunker for the store.
Listen, I dropped a load of worms off to... I'm telling you, man, you can start a worm farm with those. If they were real.
I appreciate that. You know, we'll put those to good use.
Lane, best of Michelle Olive and Ladybug, of course.
All right, and tell the lovely Dee Marie we all said hi.
Yeah, we'll do. See you, bro.
See ya.
One hell of a bass. We had a kayak. Done the kayak thing. Dee Marie, man, she gets in her kayak up in the Poconos. Whoa, look out, bass. Me, I'm still, again, like a manatee. I'm methamphetamines on this thing, going here, going there. Oh, but, hey, man, if you want a kayak bass, check out the South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club. Open Buddy Tournament, Alloways Lake on the 12th. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Do the bump. Do the hustle. Do the funky chicken. But whatever you do, get down to Royal Farms Chicken Palooza. Right now, get a three-piece world-famous chicken meal. White, dark, or chicken tenders with Western fries for just $6. With a portion of each chicken meal sale donated to local charities. Can you dig it? Plus, register to win world-famous chicken for a year. That's a three-piece world-famous chicken meal with Western fries for only $6. Don't stop till you get enough. But hurry, Royal Farms Chicken Palooza is only for a limited time. So boogie on in for Royal Farms Chicken Palooza. Going on now, and it's just the way, you like it. Real fresh, real fast, Royal Farms. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Sweepstakes ends August 31st, 2023. Chicken for a year prize to be awarded as $8 $100 Royal Farms gift cards. For details and official rules, visit royalfarms.com/chicken-palooza-sweepstakes. Void where prohibited. Sponsored by Royal Farms.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out and enjoy. The seasons, they are a change. An 8-turn of the calendar page is here. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next weekend. Rack and Fin Radio.